So we're back for another episode of Anthro Health, and joining me today is Thomas Cox. We actually just got done shooting a video. I feel like I'm fully underprepared after his crew setup. I feel like I'm, I don't know, I'll find a good analogy later, but Thomas owns and operates MealFit, which is, well, I'm going to go ahead and let you introduce yourself a little bit and tell us what MealFit is.
So MealFit is a company that started out one way, but then has transitioned into something totally different than it started out. So we started doing meal planning. We've done meal planning for thousands of people in 25 different countries. But now the three things that we do since moving to Birmingham is we feed Highlands College. So we feed a small college, which has been wonderful.
Just that.
Just a small college. And then second thing is we cater. So anything from the $10 or $12 a person lunch all the way up to, you know, feeding 1,000 people. Mm-hmm. In 2 weeks, we're feeding 1,300 people at a gigantic conference. And then the end of this week, we're feeding 250 people. So that ranges. And then we do meal prep. Mm-hmm. So we do meal prep for people that they order their food. It's cooked. I get that question all the time. It's cooked. They order the food online, and it gets delivered like 15 different locations across the Birmingham area. And we did a map the other day, and it was really cool because, I mean, we hit a large area of Birmingham. And there's a couple areas of Birmingham was like, oh, we got a gap here. We need to hit this. And so we're trying to get better at that. But feed Highlands College, do catering, and then meal prep. We also started another catering line called Table and Time.
Very nice business card.
Thank you so much. Yeah, we worked really hard on that. So, and if you could feel this thing, it feels amazing.
I said it feels like you can throw it into a watermelon.
Exactly. And so Table and Time is a higher-end catering company that will give us that touch and that, I don't know, it gives us that validity to do weddings, corporate events, private events that where MealFit is not exactly your wedding name to do something that's more high-end.
We'll dive into the kind of mission behind MealFit a little bit, but give a little bit of your background. So I know you're a college athlete.
Right.
You've been involved in kind of health and fitness for a long time.
For sure. So born and raised in Birmingham, Alabama. My dad was a football coach in high school. And so from the time I was 5 years old, all I've ever wanted to do was be in football. So I knew growing up what I was going to do. I knew I was going to go coach football. High school or college, I started to formulate the college thought process later on. And so I've always wanted to be a college football coach. And so I went to college, got a scholarship to play quarterback at UAB. Absolutely loved my experience there. Did not want to go stay in Birmingham. But it's one of those things where God just kept me here. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. Loved being in Birmingham. Loved living downtown. And then I went to Atlanta, moved to Atlanta, coached with my dad in high school for 2 years, got a job at NC State, coached at NC State for 2 years. We all got fired. And then we went to Tennessee Tech and was there and loved all of it. Had a second kid and realized that something had to change.
And like, so, was that a financial decision or time?
No, it was time. It was time. We were making good money. Cookeville's a great town to raise a kid in or raise anything in because it's so cheap to live there. Mm-hmm. And so making good money, financially stable, it was just a deal where I was missing my kid's life. Mm-hmm. Like, I missed the first 3 or 4 years of my daughter's life. I was coaching 7 or 8 hours a week. I'd get done with coaching. I would go into recruiting and be gone days at a time and then have a little break and then start spring football. It's just a cycle. Your boss could tell you when you were off. This is when you take vacation. All right, these are the 3 weeks we take vacation. I have a 3-week window to take vacation. And so those are the things that I got out of. And so we got out of that. And I'm the only guy in America that quit a job he loved. Quit a job that I love to go make less money to do to not be sure about what I wanted to do.
So what was the evolution of MealFit coming around?
So when I was at Tennessee Tech, a guy named Chip Pugh, who ended up being one of my best friends, I've always been a lifter. Always been weightlifting, you know, strong in college, loved lifting weights, loved the training, loved the running, loved all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I got with him, and at the time I was running marathons. And so when I was in North Carolina, all my guys in North Carolina, we were at NC State, they were long distance runners, and I got into marathon running. In the first year or two I was at Tennessee Tech, I did run marathons. And so I pulled off the weights. I've always lifted, just pulled back when I started the high volume stuff. And then He introduced me to CrossFit at the very beginning stages.
And what year was that? Like
07, 08?
Okay.
08? I mean, like early. OG days.
Yeah.
You know, so I remember him going to the CrossFit games and me going, where are you going again? To Aromas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we got into that and developed some friendships there in that community because, I mean, Cookeville has morphed itself into being the CrossFit hub of the world. Mm-hmm. And so had some amazing training partners there. And learned a lot about the body, learned a lot about fitness, learned a lot about food, learned a lot about nutrition. Because when you get involved in that as deep as we did, nutrition is the building block, the base of CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize that, but food is a huge deal. And those people are adamant about what they eat and how they eat and all that kind of stuff. And so I got involved in that. And then I quit my job coaching, started working at a church, took a huge pay cut. So really similar to your deal, like I was making good money,
mm-hmm.
and then I was like, I don't want to do this. I can't do this anymore. So I took a gigantic pay cut, and I worked at a church. Honestly, I feel like God, and this is cliche, God put me there. Yeah, he did. But God put me there to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
He did. He put me there to figure it out. So I figured out. Guy walked to my office, asked me to make him a meal plan because he knew I knew about food, and I ate funny. I ate different than everybody else. And so I said, sure, and it just was a domino effect from there. And so I did that for a year and a half, and we grew. I was working on a church's laptop, doing meal plans for people all over the world. And then a year and a half into it, I went part-time at the church.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I took those 20 hours that I wasn't working on Meal Fit and started working on Meal Fit, and it was just like, I mean, a gigantic trajectory. So where we had talked about you had slow growth at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
I was working a job and working on the thing that I loved.
Mm-hmm.
Where you quit your job to go back to school, I worked double duty and didn't make much money the first year.
Yeah.
The second year, we made a bunch.
So getting it, it's called Meal Fit.
Yeah.
So obviously there is a healthy spin. Coming from, you told me in our interview that you have a history degree,
yeah.
master's in education.
Yeah.
So coming into that, obviously we can self-teach a lot. And when
sure.
it comes to nutrition, something that is very much prevalent nowadays is there are all these certifications, right? Precision nutrition.
Right.
And a lot of them, fantastic information.
Absolutely.
Do you ever feel, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way, do you ever feel a bit of like imposter syndrome of like, should I be doing nutrition planning for
right.
people when there are people that have like a PhD or a master's? Yeah. Like how'd you educate yourself?
Uh-huh.
B, what is the kind of mission behind Meal Fit of like, hey, this is kind of our idea of what we think healthy is.
Right. So I had a lady who worked at the gym. I'm answering both questions.
Yeah.
Had a lady that worked at the gym who brought up the same thing we first started.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, hey, you could get busted for this. It's illegal. And I'm like, I just give suggestions on, I'm making meal plans. I'm sending people recipes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just giving suggestions on what worked for us. That's one of the things I've always said. Is I've experimented on me
mm-hmm.
first and foremost. Not even my wife sometimes, but just me. And so how do I educate myself? We had talked about a mutual friend, Brian McKenzie, was mm-hmm. huge. It's huge impact in my life and as far as the education is concerned. Just the constant learning, the tinkering with things. Brian is a constant, like, I'm kind of messing with this right now. I'm kind of working with this right now. And so I started just tinkering with food. And I'll always like to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And so started messing with food, started messing with the nutrition part, changing things up in my diet and see how I'd react. High this, low this, more this, less of this, whatever. And and I read a ton. I'm a huge reader. Was not a huge reader growing up, but then I got to college and started reading more.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a huge reader. I read a lot, consume a lot of just information. Sometimes it can kind of paralyze you a little bit
yeah.
as far as just like, this says this, but this says this, but you gotta really digest it. And the best thing to do is experiment.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I tell people all the time. So that's to answer the question about, you know, how to educate myself. But like when Yvette came to me and said, hey, you need to watch out, like, mm-hmm. you know, you're giving bad advice or you're not certified or you don't have this. I called the state. I was like, hey, this is what I'm doing. Am I legal? And it's the thing. I'm not here to cure any diseases.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not here to make someone, you know, a totally different person. I'm here to say, hey, this is what works for us. This is how we've done it. And it's been successful for us. If you want to come alongside us, great.
Mm-hmm.
But understand that I don't have letters behind my name. I'm not
you know, when there's no, on your website, there's no desire like this is going to equal this.
Absolutely.
In my opinion, not. And this may be not a great parallel that you want to draw, you're no different than, in marketing terms, Pizza Hut putting out a commercial. All you're showing is, this is the food that we prepare.
Yeah.
It's probably a lot healthier than that.
No doubt.
Here it is, you can buy it. You're right. Not saying, hey, this makes this change.
Right.
So I see nothing wrong with that. So that kind of gets to that second part of that question. What is the premise, or what is your diet? Because that's where a lot of this came from.
Yeah.
What's the premise for what healthy means in meal fit terms?
Okay. So I love this question because this helps me get the mission out of what we want to teach.
Mm-hmm.
So whether we're teaching kids that are at Highlands College, or I'm teaching, like, I've got multiple NFL athletes that I feed during the off season to, you know, kids that are training for this, or to the people that want to lose weight. I saw a quote the other day by Jeff Bezos and Warren Buffett, two of the richest people on the planet. And Warren Buffett has a thought process of wealth that is really different than a lot of people's. And Jeff said, "Why do more? Your method of creating wealth is very simple. Why do more people not follow it?" Warren Buffett stopped and he paused. He goes, "You know what? Because people don't want to get rich slow." Why am I talking about money? There are so many fad diets out there, from keto to zone to Atkins was huge for a long time, to
now it's like carnivore
macros.
Yeah.
And there's so many things out there.
Mm-hmm.
Paleo, this, it just, South Beach. I mean, there's just, we could name them for hours. Our theory is to eat real food. There are some things that we obviously need to eat less of.
Mm-hmm.
But if you eat real food and you move, you are going to be fine. That's it. I don't have a magic pill. I don't have the magic key. But a consistent thought process and a consistent discipline of eating real food and moving properly, you are going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You are not going to lose 100 pounds in a month.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to be fine. I want to give people a thought process of how to eat the rest of their life, not for their wedding, not for a race. Now, I'll say this. There are certain things in certain groups of people
mm-hmm.
that need to eat different than the college kid.
Oh, absolutely.
I've used him all the time. Rich Froning is one of the best, probably, he's the Michael Jordan of CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
The guy ate different. He didn't eat a ton during the day, and he talked about what you did early, ate a ton at night.
Mm-hmm.
It worked for him. Is that optimal? No. Triathlete is going to eat different than the soccer mom taking their kids to practice. He's got to consume more calories. Michael Phelps, he's got 70,000 Olympic medals. He's going to eat different. But those are the anomaly. Those are the exception and not the rule. For the general, the normal, the 97% of the population,
mm-hmm.
if we can eat real food, one ingredient items, tell me this all the time. If your 7-year-old or 9-year-old can't read the entire food label, you probably don't need to eat it.
Mm-hmm. Which is not a groundbreaking idea. But
it's not.
Neither is Warren Buffett's strategy for creating wealth. But it is very hard for people to do because it's a frame of mind, especially in Western culture, that we should be able to do
everything.
We should be able to eat a bunch of cake, not exercise, and then still look good on our wedding day.
Right.
Little do we think that, we always think it's sacrifice, right? Diet means cutting stuff out. But it shouldn't be sacrifice. It should be a way of living where you're not sacrificing, right? What
For
you
sure.
are sacrificing by doing that is your health, your hormone regulation by yo-yoing everywhere. But we want everything all at once, that I should be able to go crush a bunch of booze on Friday night, eat poorly, not work out, and then get in the gym Monday morning,
and
burn it off. Like, it's this kind of credit debit system of like health. And it seems so simplistic, which it is, but the hardest thing is it's changing habits, which people talk about all the time. You're not changing what they eat, you're not changing what they drink, you're not changing what they exercise, you're changing habits. And that's the very first step. I just saw a quote by Mark Hyman, who's a pretty prolific nutritionist. And he said, if I could put one medication into a pill, if there was one magic pill, it'd be exercise.
Yeah.
But we use exercise in a fundamentally different way than people that are trying to lose weight, you and I, when I say that. There is a dysbiosis when people try to lose weight through exercise. That is not what it's meant for.
No,
and I know that seems, and there's actually, I say this all the time, there's no study that has ever shown that there's a correlation between exercise and weight loss. And that seems crazy, but there's not.
Right.
Because calories in, calories out doesn't matter.
Right.
The quality of the food you eat, consistent you are over time, but also like how you think about your food.
Yeah.
Right? Do I think this makes me fat? That there are studies that show that it's going to change how you metabolize your food. So when you're having, I know you have people that come to you wanting to buy food from Meal Fit for specific reasons.
Yeah.
What do you have anything that you consistently find you telling other people? Like, hey, think about it like this. Or are you just saying, eat these foods?
Right. People ask me all the time, how much should I eat? I don't know. Like, are you
Bo Beer? Are you saying it depends?
Are you are you Bo Beer? Are you training for a 100 mile 100 mile race on foot? You have to consume a different amount. I'm talking to people on the phone. Well, how many people does a pound of rice feed? Who are you feeding? So I get those same thought process, those same questions all the time, and it does. What you do on a daily basis, it depends on how much you should eat. It does. Now, it doesn't vary a ton,
right?
But it does. The thing that makes it hard to grasp is that our success in business and in the food industry, it's not fancy. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, Bo, that I think where people miss the boat is it's not fancy. I don't have anything earth-shattering. I don't have anything groundbreaking. It's simple. Simple doesn't always sell. Mm-hmm. But the thing that does sell is results. And it consistently, like you talked about, and I love it, the habits of changing people's habits of their morning routine, what they're doing from an exercise standpoint. Like you said, why are they exercising? Mm-hmm. Why are they, all these different types of things. Those are the things, and those things are not fancy, and they're not going to make a good book, and they're not going to make, you know,
a ton of money. Yeah.
But they're life-changing.
Oh, absolutely.
And so I think the more I can convince people to say, hey, look, it is a long freaking race. You know, the exercise thing. I love this story. So Jason Kaliba, who won the CrossFit Games, I don't even remember what year. It's a wonderful human being, great businessman, wonderful athlete. So he's at this track, and they're running, they're lifting this, they're doing stuff. And this guy comes by and he goes, hey, what are you training for? He goes, he's breathing heavy, his hands on his knees, he looks up and he goes, life. And like, people ask me all the time, like, hey man, you're 39. Like, are you still gonna lift heavy? I'm like, you know what I did yesterday? I said, my wife asked me to pick the freaking couch up so she could vacuum. Hey, you know what I had to do last night? I had to take a 90-pound girl from one bed to another, dead weight, because she's sleeping. I had to pick her up and take her from one bed to another halfway across my house. I had to pick up a cooler this weekend at the lake and take it from the dock to the boat, and it weighed 75 pounds. That's life. And so, talking about exercising, I exercise for life.
Well, and that's, we live in a time of environmental mismatch, right? We used to live in a certain way all that stuff was easy. Picking up your daughter was like, dude, yeah, I can do this all day long because I was just out there, you know, plowing a field.
Right.
But now we have to create an artificial environment of struggle and, you know, a battle of attrition with your body almost, to where you're like, you're throwing in these challenges. Hey, I'm going to go get on the rower because I need to, rather than like, I'm doing all the hard stuff and the daily, you know, things of around the house, whatever, are just, that's what I do.
Yeah.
But most people come in here, even though we see a lot of athletes, it's not a heavy deadlift. It's not a pulled hamstring on a 100-meter, you know, sprint. It's, I picked up a sock. I
moved wrong.
I was riding on a boat doing absolutely nothing, and I came in here and I can't even stand up straight, right? So preparation for life used to not be a thing. You just were living your life in a fashion that basically bulletproofed you. And that's that whole idea of being anti-fragile, which we are, but we have to put ourselves in that environment. So what do you, I know you come from a CrossFit-esque background right. in the past few years. Like, we were kind of talking about this before. What do you still do now? Obviously, lift heavy, doing CrossFit-style workouts.
Right. Here's the theory that I live by, and I learned this from training with some of the best athletes in the world, is lift something heavy and get out of breath. It can be dumbed down into that, okay? Now, do I lift something heavy every day? No. I have, and we talked about this earlier, I have moved into a thought process of moving every day.
Mm-hmm.
And this may be going too deep, but like ancestrally,
mm-hmm.
they did something every day.
It's called anthro health, man.
Exactly.
No way we're getting too
yeah.
deep.
So like, from the time of man, you moved and did every day. And now, it's normal to not move.
Mm-hmm.
And moving is the exception. I want to move every day. I want to get out of breath every day. And I want to sweat every day. So 365 days in a year, I'm doing something 360 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know I take an off day. Yeah, but you know what I did yesterday? I ran 200 meters and did 20 kettlebell swings for 12 minutes. I didn't move mountains, and I'm not going to win the CrossFit Games.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to go win the Ironman in Hawaii. But I got out of breath and I lifted something relatively heavy. I went back inside and I started my day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sunday, I'm going to row 10,000 meters. Come hell or high water, I'm going to figure out a way to row 10,000 meters at least right around 10,000 on a Sunday. Because I get out of breath big time. I sweat a ton. My heart rate is high. It goes low. It's high. It goes low. But that's the way people live for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And so from an exercise standpoint, that's where I'm at these days. And it's drastically changed. 5 years ago, I was training for the CrossFit Games, and I was lifting heavy, doing multiple workouts a day. But you know what? Competitively, I don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
And that's not arrogance. But I've competed at a high level, and I loved it. But at 39 with three kids, I am going to be safe. I'm going to be healthy. I'm going to be strong. So I'm not going to lose the strength aspect, try not to lose the strength aspect of it. But like, that's the goal now. It's not a status quo. Like,
yeah,
not at all.
You're not
like,
stuck.
No. Like, for example, like we're starting training now for October. We're going to hike the Grand Canyon rim to rim to rim.
Nice.
So it's 42 miles, something like that. We're going to do it over 2 days. So hike half camp and then hike back. But like 42, that's a long freaking way.
Yeah.
500 years ago, that wasn't.
Yeah, the average per day walking, you know, even 300 years ago was about 10K, right? Now people have to train for weeks to run a 10K, like in a very short amount of time.
Oh, yeah.
But we were doing that every day in a nomadic lifestyle. And I tell people this all the time, evolutionary-wise, we want to sit on the couch. We're trying to
that's the goal.
Retain calories and retain energy and not move because that's safe. Same thing happens when you're injured, though. The goal of an injury is to get you to sit on your butt. I always use the analogy of if I was a caveman or woman, I would go hide in a cave while I was injured. So I A, didn't get eaten. B, I healed. But you would eventually get so hungry, you'd have to go walk out of your cave and chase something. That's rehab.
Right.
But most of us end up getting a little hurt, a little overweight. We sit in our cave, AKA the couch, and we don't change anything because there's no evolutionary trigger to make us want to do that. That's where you're literally now, we're fighting our own human nature.
Yeah,
and I think when you realize that, it kind of makes you realize that dude, working out always doesn't feel great. Right? People are like, oh, you know, Instagram, like I'm exercising, I'm sweating. Dude, it's not always fun. If I go run after this, it's 105 degrees. That is not really fun.
No.
But I'm with you. I'm going to run every day. I'm going to challenge myself. I'm going to do something every day that puts me out of my comfort zone. So when I'm forced to be out of my comfort zone, I can handle it or I can compete, whatever it is, whatever my goal is.
For sure.
So let me ask you this. These are always two questions I ask.
Okay.
So this could be...
I have no idea what you're fixing to ask.
Hey, you're good, man.
Okay.
That's what the fun part of this is. So it could be professional, it could be personal. What is something that you long held to be true, but you had to change your mind on in the past year, past couple years, based on experience, evidence, whatever it be?
Number one is my relationship with my wife. has drastically changed in probably the past 2 years. In a way of understanding how to love her in a way that she gives and receives love in a different way than I do. And the way she receives love is not the way that I like to give. And so I have in turn have to get out of my comfort zone in order to make this relationship the best it's going to be. Great. The practical example of that is I'm a physical touch acts of service. If you noticed, when I walked in the door and greeted you, I'm a hugger. Mm-hmm. I'm a toucher. She is a little bit, but that's not like her deal. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm also an acts of service guy. Like, it makes me feel wonderful inside. If the dishes are done, the clothes are clean and folded and up, and the house is like, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's not her. She's gifts. That sounds really selfish, but she loves nothing better than buying stuff and giving it to somebody. Mm-hmm. Her nieces and nephews, her friends, her kids. Like, she loves buying crap for her kids. So that's the first thing. Yeah. I've understood that I'm not going to change her. Mm-hmm. And the more I try, it's like pushing a rope. It's just not going to work.
Yeah.
So I've had to get out of my comfort zone in order to help my best friend. This sounds really awful. Help my best friend fall in love with me more and more every day.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that sounds bad at all.
So that's the first thing. The second thing is I am borderline vegetarian. So, man, the volume of meat that we consume, I really in my heart don't think it's the best thing for us physically. Mm-hmm. I think that we consume too much protein. I think that there's a huge marketing twist out there to make us think that we need 1 gram per pound of body weight of protein. Mm-hmm. Like 40 to 60 grams of protein a day, I'm like, good. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, again, I'm not training for the CrossFit Games or running marathons or anything. I'm not doing that.
But also, for people that are listening, you're also not 150-pound wireframe guy.
No. So I really think that we consume too much meat. And so, yesterday.
Now, are you saying from a pure health standpoint?
From a pure health standpoint.
Physique and.
Yeah, from a pure health standpoint. Like, I'm 39. And there's no question that I want to look good naked, and I want to, because I think that's also something that we do for our spouse is continue to keep a good frame and good physique. But it's not about that as much as it is about the health aspect of who we are. I'm going to be honest with you, though. I don't think physically we can consume as much as we have in the past. I don't think we're made that way.
Well, and there's studies that look at as we age, where our ability to break down protein changes vastly.
Like, I even think as a human standpoint, like, we are not made to consume as much meat as we have been consuming. Mm-hmm. Meat is, here's the thing, in like 80% of the world, meat is a major luxury. Mm-hmm. And I don't think our teeth are totally made to consume it and break it down like, you know, carnivores are. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting really nerdy, sciencey, but this is kind of, the thread I think you were going for. But that's one of the things that I've shifted to. Now, am I vegan? No. Am I totally animals are? No. It's nothing to do with animal cruelty. Mm-hmm. That does not bother me at all. It is simply from a health, physical aspect of it that I have tilted more vegetarian than more traditional carnivore. Now, I'll say this. I've gotten that 35 to 39, you start taking a dip as far as just certain things are concerned physically. But I'm not as strong as I used to be. Mm-hmm. But I don't consume near as much protein.
That's what I was going to ask. What have you noticed beneficially?
Strength. Strength is a negative. So I'm not as strong.
Beneficial.
My system runs more efficiently.
Gotcha.
And that sounds really scientific, analytical, but I feel like I think clearer. Mm-hmm. It sounds really, you know, a lot of information. I feel like I go to the bathroom better. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm more regular. I feel like I'm more energy in some ways. So I think my system from my head to my toes, that from endocrine to nervous to digestive, I feel like those systems run better.
Well, an interesting point on that real quick is there's a book, which a big component of the book I don't agree with, and I've voiced that on here before, but it's called the Wildatarian Diet, which again, talking about a diet. Mm-hmm. But the research in the book looks at how traditionally or industrial agricultural raised meat, so chicken in particular.
Right.
The protein structure is far different than it was even 50 years ago. So the amyloid protein structure within those cows, chickens, whatever, that are raised in not only just like tight confinement areas, but even like tight pasture quarters, changes the protein structure, and we cannot break those proteins down. And when you talk about thinking clear, they know there is a correlation between those amyloid protein structures and neural plaquing that would have a tie to like dementia, Alzheimer's, and things like that, like neurodegenerative disorder. Wow. So I would agree with you that we are not designed, for a lot of reasons, autoimmune, environmental, from even a baby now, to handle a protein load like that. But the protein, just like our plants, right? Gluten has changed and all that fun stuff. Even the protein's changing.
Right.
And I just think being aware of that, A, you're in tune with yourself, that feel like I just run better, whether we can quantify it or not. But a lot of people just adhere, it's like all or nothing, and they're not willing to like test. It's like, well, I'm a carnivore diet, I'm a vegan, I'm a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Sloan was a vegetarian for 6 months, and she was like, I felt depressed. I felt horrible. She had a protein back in, boom. Wow. Right? So yeah, she tested it, and she did it for, hers were a lot of like, you know, animal cruelty things. She started thinking about some stuff. She's like, if I can't kill the animal, I shouldn't eat it.
Wow.
Mm. Well, then she got over that. She got over it real quick. So bad. Yeah. But, you know, she had to test that out. So I always bring that question up, because if you're willing to change your mind on something like that, it just shows you're somebody who is about personal growth. You have an open mind. You're not closed off.
Right.
And that's just, we need a lot more of that nowadays.
Absolutely. So I think you've got to be able to tinker with,
yeah,
with what you're eating. And I think that's all. And this is why I like the CrossFit. Is CrossFit the only way to exercise? Absolutely not. But I do like the theory of the constantly varying mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
Oh, the principles within it are very strong.
Absolutely.
Right? When we get off into the extremes of anything,
no question.
Not so much.
So
flip side of that question.
Okay.
What is something you know, and again, you can take this wherever you want, what is something you know to be true, but there's absolutely no evidence, right? Nobody's ever proven it. It may be something you do as like a habit, an eating habit, workout, spiritual life, whatever. But nobody's ever proven this. You're just like, dude, I know this is the way it is.
Discipline in making yourself, and that message may have been proven, I don't know, but daily disciplines are what shape you. It is not the one event. Doing stuff over and over and over and over again, the compounding daily disciplines is what creates who you are. Whether it be reading, whether it be exercise, whether it be waking up early, whatever. You've got to create discipline. People fall apart when they don't stick to patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just like we talked about, patterns need to change, but we've got to test and get into a rhythm of how to do life on so many different levels, from food, from exercise, work, all these things. But the daily things that you do are what creates who you are. The daily friends that you're around, the daily things that you read, the daily music that you listen to. We are huge, huge, huge into not listening to things that are not uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this sounds super legalistic, but I really don't care. We don't watch R-rated movies.
Yeah.
We don't listen to, like, this is the word secular sounds awful. We don't listen to secular music.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that it's bad if you do. I'm just saying those are the
things,
are the choices that we've made
mm-hmm.
that we just don't vary a whole lot from.
Well, we talked about Steve Jobs wearing the same clothes. It's kind of in that same vein. You're just limiting your exposure through a bigger chunking of, we're getting rid of that. So you could pick, like, I listen to that band.
For sure.
It's easier to say, I don't listen to any of it. And whether that's like it, you know, is that wrong, right? probably neither. It's just a thing,
right?
We lay judgment on things way too quick. Like, is that bad or good? It doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter.
Right? It's just a choice I made. That's how we live our life. It makes our life easier. We think we're better for it.
Helps us.
And that's, again, what that question's posed as. I don't know who said it, but the idea of when you lack discipline, it's like consistently lying to yourself, right? So you stop trusting yourself, which leads to all those problems of like, I'm going to tell myself I'm going to get up and work out and I don't. If right. you do that enough times, pretty soon you're not sure of who you are.
For sure.
Which is the exact opposite of what you said of like, that's right. how you figure out who you are. So I love that right
yep.
there. Well, those are my two wrap-up questions that I always ask everybody because that kind of gives a window into really who you were and who yeah. you are and kind of where you're going.
Right.
So what do you, let's wrap it up with this. Both personally and business-wise, where do you see yourself in the next like 5 years?
So it's a great question because in the last 6 to 9 months, I've really done a gigantic examination of our business. I love to work. Like, I love working. I love going to work every day. I have to monitor myself, mm-hmm. you know. But in the next 5 years, my hope is to grow our business to the point that which I can either segue out of it, either sell what we've built and go do something else, or leverage it to the point to where I can, like you said earlier, mm-hmm. step away and not be have to be involved in the day-to-day. The hard part about that is quality. You gotta make, you're the guy that owns it, so you've gotta keep a constant monitor on that. But you move slower when you hire great people because you have to pay them more to run what you're doing. And so I've transitioned into that, but I've also sought out advice to how to, this is such a buzzword now, but how to scale our business.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that, but it's true. How do we grow? I'm a football coach who owns his own business right now, who loves food and is pretty good at food. So the business aspect of this thing, I wasn't well versed in.
Mm-hmm.
Like my mentors are like freaking guys that coach ball and could do that wonderfully.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've having to seek out people to say, hey, how can you help me? I mean, and being humble enough, trying to be humble enough to say, I ain't got this thing figured out, even though we've been fairly successful.
Mm-hmm.
How do we do this? How do we take the next step? And I think that's where people get it wrong is they don't seek out people. And the term mentor is so overused right now, but like I'm seeking out. And I found a couple of people mm-hmm. that can just say, hey, can you help me?
Yeah.
What's the next step here? And we're meeting with a guy this week who's been a family friend forever that has been in that world to help us do that. So to answer your question is, I got a plan
mm-hmm.
and I got goals. The biggest thing is what am I doing daily to mm-hmm. make those things happen? And we got a good plan. We do. I'm every day I'm stepping into uncharted territory, and that's where I get back to trusting God, but also mm-hmm. trusting that the things that he's laid out for me that I may not see it totally clear, but I gotta go because this is where he's leading me.
When that daily discipline applied to that plan is how you get it done.
That is it. And I can't express this enough. I do not love getting up every morning and reading my Bible, but I do it anyway. I do not just fall in love with the idea of getting up and working out every day, but I do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There are some things that you get up. Some mornings I do. I get up. I'm excited to do certain things. But some I don't. But I do them anyway. And the more times we can do them anyway, do whatever that is anyway, I feel in my heart wholeheartedly, the more successful we will be. Because you can say, well, follow your passion. You got to have passion to get through the hard times.
Yeah.
Because the bulk of your day is not just like butterflies and rainbows.
Mm-hmm.
You got crap that you're gonna have to go in here at night or tomorrow morning at 5 and do that you're not just excited about, but you gotta do them anyway.
Absolutely.
So those are the things that I think that'll get us there. I got no doubt in my mind in the next 5 years we're gonna reach our goals.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it. But it's just, hey, you just gotta take that path to get there and continue to do it.
One thought I had on that before we wrap up is I was listening to that talk with Seth Godin, and it kind of just hit me like a ton of bricks. He goes, you know, there's a huge difference between a freelancer and an entrepreneur, and he goes, we have it completely backwards in our society. He goes, a freelancer is somebody who is selling their services only when they work. And that's really me right now, right? If I'm not in here, I'm not really making a whole lot of money.
Right.
I don't have passive income streams. And he goes, an entrepreneur is somebody who's created something where they can walk away or it runs without them. But I, you know, I tell people all the time, I'm an entrepreneur, right? I'm a business owner. Are you really?
Right.
Or are you just working and trading services for money? And yeah, this is a health podcast and all that, but think about every part of your life in that fashion. Yeah. Are you just freelancing everything? Are you creating systems and daily disciplines?
Systems, man. God, man.
And the ability to have a bit of grit when things aren't great. Because if you don't have a system and you don't have a plan and you don't have any of that, it doesn't matter. Diet, exercise, spirituality, whatever it is, it's going to fall by the wayside.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's, I think, why people like you and I and, you know, all the people we surround ourselves with put ourselves up against kind of the fire consistently through, you know, working out, competition, whatever it is, because we're trying to test ourselves to be almost to be sure, like, hey, is the stuff I'm doing working, right? Am I going to be okay when it gets tough?
Yeah.
And it's because you never know what you're going to face.
You do. You never know. And the business aspect of it is, like right now, we're launching a new catering line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're spending some money and some time.
It's scary. A
little bit.
Yeah.
You know, but like the girl that's helping us do it, she keeps like, hey, what about this? I'm like, yep, go ahead. Yep, yep. Sounds good. Yep, yep. And we keep writing checks. And like, there's none of, but I know this is the best thing for our business.
Right.
And I'm stepping out saying, hey, this is where we're going. This is the plan we have. And so in turn, I know this is what we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the hard part.
Yeah.
So
any last little piece of advice? Is there something, is there a Thomas Cox saying? Like if I asked your wife, man, what's he always telling people? Like what's his little go-to?
Man, from a business and a life perspective, I go back to eat real food and move.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are super homeopathic, not very traditional medicine people. And I really in my heart feel like that moving properly, what you do here, and eating real food will cure so many of the things that ail our society these days. That's number one. And then number two is, man, I try to live with so much discipline on a daily basis. So if we can eat real food and move and live a disciplined lifestyle, saying no to the things that we know we shouldn't mm-hmm. do, man, you can have the world by the tail if you can do those two things. Those two things.
Boom. Mic drop. Thank you so much for doing this, man.
Yes, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yep.